Okay, I see all the people listening with greed to hear. That's great, because I explained in the morning class that, let me get set up here. I explained in the morning class that it was such a busy day, and I see actually everyone here today online today and right now, and 90% of the people online in morning, they had attended yesterday. So I thought, oh, I'm not sure who will come today. But I was mentioning in the morning, and I'll mention again, that Bhakti Sanjayate Bhakti, that Bhakti leads to Bhakti. So in that sense, I'm not surprised. I quoted from the Bhagavatam, Vayam Natu Vachriptatma Uttama Shloka Vartate Yatrinvatan Rasagyanam Swadu Swadu. We never become tired of real devotion. So if we had a very nice devotional experience yesterday, and it's not surprising that people are coming back for more. Of course, I explained that I was so busy, and then breaking my diet after 4 months, I hadn't had any sugar or gluten or oil or ghee. I digested it great, but it did make me sleep more. So I didn't really get to prepare to the level that I wanted. But let's go on with the Krishna Katha today, at least for some time, and see how far we get. Let me just see if I have some notes here I could look at. I don't. Okay. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 36, Text 26. Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. It agyap tarta tantra gya ayuha yadu pungavam grhitva panina panim tato kruram uvachaha. Having thus commanded his ministers, Kamsa called for Akrura, the most imminent of the Yadus. Kamsa knew the art of securing personal advantage, and thus he took Akrura's hand in his own and spoke to him as follows. Om Agyana Timarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Taksur Unmalatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Sapadantikam Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasude Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from New Jersey. Now, yesterday I spoke about where one begins Krishna consciousness. And I think it's also very pertinent to this class. It begins with some conviction in the heart. I mentioned this many, many times. I can repeat it again. Where one realizes that I need guidance, authority, other than my own desires or opinions, because I'm not an authority. And the proof I'm not of authority is that I'm acting in a way that's causing me misery, even though my goal is to be happy. And therefore, one wants something higher than his own desires or opinions. And I mentioned how spiritual life works is that God sees that attitude. He's actually waiting for that attitude where one is actually looking for, realizes that there is an absolute truth and it's not myself, it's not my own authority. And he arranges for sadhu sangha. This is how we meet Guru. This is how we meet Krishna. Krishna is just watching our heart. Nityo nityanam, chaitanas chaitananam, eko buhunam yo vididati kaman. There's one supreme eternal, and there's many eternals. There's one supreme living force, and there's many living forces. Eko, the one, bahudam, the many, vidati, nourishes, satisfies the desire. So God is looking to fulfill us. But we have to have the right consciousness, and he doesn't interfere with that. Because if he interfered with that, he'd interfere with a certain type of experience of joy in the universe, which must be complete. And that's the joy of choosing to serve God, to choosing to have that volition and love. So he's just looking at the heart. The story of the wives of the Brahmins, where Krishna tells his friends that there are certain Brahmins, if you're hungry, you can beg them for food. But why was Krishna saying that? He knew that the Brahmins were wouldn't be able to hear. I mentioned yesterday, Gail was repeating something I said, that hearing is not just the senses, it's the attitude. It's the attention. And it has to be the attitude. Without the proper attitude, you won't be attentive. So God hears. So he knew they would refuse, and that when Krishna would send them back, that the wise will certainly give. The wise were eager to see Krishna, and Krishna reciprocated. But how did that happen? It was because by prolonged hearing about Krishna from the Brijavasis, when the wives of the Brahmins, they would serve their husbands, they'd have to buy milk, they have to buy flowers for the deities. Well, who do you buy them from? You buy them from the gopis. The gopis are selling the milk. The gopis are selling the flowers. What are the gopis doing? They're just talking about Krishna, 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 Krishna. And they would hear that every day. And they develop a desire. And when that desire matures to the level that's called ashakti, consuming desire for God, then God trusts that you will not exploit that connection with him. He hears it. This is such a beautiful point. God is listening to our hearts and he reciprocates. Krishna is responsive. He reciprocates when he hears the sincere heart, when he hears that you really want to serve, because we can even serve Krishna with so many motives, to be the best devotee, to be respected, to get something in return. When he hears anya bilashita shunyam, there's no other desire, then he makes arrangements. So this is the story we're hearing here of Akura. He patiently waited to get the association of Krishna and took any risk possible to make himself qualified. And also he served the devotee, Krishna's father. Don't you think Krishna will, because Krishna's hearing that, don't you think he'll fulfill the desire of the devotee? And then he goes by chariot. Then we'll see how the story, how Krishna makes that arrangement for Akura to see his Lord. He waited 12 years. And the only way he could stay in proximity of Vrindavan is to serve the cruel King Kamsa. But Krishna heard that heart. And then the chariot moved. But what chariot moved? We are not separated from the God by a physical distance. We're separated by faith. And where is God? And I love that quote by, I heard it from Prabhupada's godbrother, Bhakti Rakshaka Sridhar Maharaj, but I think he got it from one German philosopher. Where there is no circumference, the God is everywhere. It's a different dimension. It's not miles, it's not distance. It's a different dimension. Beyond time, beyond space, material space. Pantastu koti satavatsara sampagamyo vayor atapi manaso munipungam. You can travel there by the speed of mind for millions and millions of years and not come to God and not see God. Even people, when Krishna was here, naham pakasya sarvasya yoga maya samar, he said, I am not manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. So we have this person who, and then who's facilitating this? Narada Muni. Because Narada Muni sees that he now has opportunity to, and of course, he's the acharya. He's inspired to use people for Krishna's plan. And part of Krishna's plan is that Krishna comes to, leaves Vrindavan. He comes to Mathura. He liberates his parents from the jail. He kills the evil King Kamsa. So now Narada Muni wants to expedite Krishna's coming. And he takes advantage of the incident where Krishna kills this demon disguised as a bull. And Kamsa had sent so many demons because he had that Akashvani, that prediction from the unembodied voice that told him that the eighth child of this, his sister, Devaki, will kill him. But then Narada told him it could be the demigods are taking birth everywhere, anywhere. You don't know who it is. You don't know, could it be anyone? So he started to send demons to kill the children that were born, to kill all the youth, because he understood the demigods were taking birth. So Narada used that example, and he told to Kamsa, look, you're sending all these demons to Vrindavan and they're getting killed. You want them to kill the people of Vrindavan because one of them may be the eighth child, but they're all being killed. Don't you understand what this means? The person who's killing him is Krishna, and he's the eighth child of your sister, and you don't know what happened, you fool. You don't know what happened. He was born, and his father somehow took him across the river and exchanged him with the daughter of Mother Yasoda. And you know, she came back, and then you saw it manifest that. It was Yogamaya personified, but it was actually Krishna. And the seventh child was Balaram. And then Kamsa became very angry, and he was going to kill Vasudeva. But Krishna said, Vasudeva, because he's very smart, but not Vasudeva. What can Vasudeva do? Just put him in chains. And if you kill him, what's going to happen, you fool? You want Krishna and Balaram to come here. The parents will take him away. You have to have a more intelligent plan to bring them here, because the home court is a very, very strong advantage. And I think I don't know if I told the story last week, but it was Garuda is the enemy of snakes. Even Kaliya, the multi-headed Kaliya, had to flee to the Jamuna to escape from Garuda. But Lord Shiva, when Garuda saw Lord Shiva, all these little snakes, they're smaller snakes, not like Kaliya, multi-headed. And they were like challenging Garuda. And Garuda understood he couldn't do anything because they were, I think I said this last week, they were protected by Lord Shiva. He couldn't do anything. And that was the point. And that's what Narada is trying to convince Kamsa. Yeah, just like Garuda, he was killing Kaliya. So this Krishna, he's so powerful. But when they have the home court, just like a crocodile can defeat an elephant in water. So you bring them here. That's your only chance to kill them. You bring them here. So Kamsa was really angry. And we another point is when you're angry, you don't make good decisions. Jayato Visham Pumsa Sengo Sanjayate Kamakam. You become bewildered. So he's really fearful. And just think of it, when you're demoniac mentality, you want to control everything. And then the mercy of death, it's a mercy for everyone, but what does death announce? You are not the controller. You are not the controller. You are not. And if you accept that, and open your heart to God, I am yours. I am yours. I have faith. You will protect me. If it is death that you are sending, then death is my benediction. I am completely protected, because protected means you'll do what's best. When you have that, there's no more death. Because death is just the illusion of non-existence due to the false ego, which creates a connection, which delimits the consciousness to a particular body so it can identify. The same soul is an elephant, the same soul is an ant. But the ant, the consciousness is delimited to that body, the elephant, it's expanded or maybe delimited to that body. So So it's this false ego that makes us experience the transformation of the material body as death. You get rid of the false ego, you don't experience death. Death is the illusion of non-existence, but we're eternal. We're only identifying with something which is vikara, which will transform and then disappear. So, and I many times told the story of that great saint, Mother Gauri, who Ayurvedic doctor who had cured her once, and then she's laying on the floor in Vrindavan, wanting to die on the ground of the holy Vrindavan. And he comes in and feels her pulse, and he was a very elevated soul, and said, "Disease is finished. You have 1 hour left to live." And that sounds like a contradiction. But he knew she was accepting God's will. And therefore, she was not identifying with the body, and therefore the disease is finished because the cancer was in the body and not the soul, and she no longer identified with the soul. I've seen this. I've seen people in terrible anxiety leaving the world and then thinking, well, I'm in Vrindavan, but let me go here, let me go there. And then somehow the body goes worse. They can't even move. And then they accept, okay, I'm not the, that's what death means. Death is the voice of God telling you what you should understand in pure knowledge. You are not the controller. You are not the controller. You are not the controller. And if you accept that, you're liberated. Because only that consciousness that makes us identify with and feel the body. So here's Kamsa, and that voice is coming to him, who is not detached, who has no, doesn't even want to accept that there's God. How fearful he is. And what is he going to try to do? Rather than surrender to God, he's going to try to control the world to conquer death. And this is what happens to people sometimes. They don't, it's a principle that we should try to save life, even our own, as long as possible. But sometimes when God has already announced to us and people keep on going, they suffer more because that consciousness is just going to fortify the material conception and suffer more. So Kamsa is so fearful. Now he's going to try to counteract it. Rather than surrender, he's going to fight. And this is a big mistake because there's a principle. When you fight with someone much stronger than you, your own strength even becomes diminished more. And the example given is a glowworm, which at night is so bright. It's so bright, but if it comes out in the sun, it loses all its power. But anyway, he's calling his ministers, he's making plans that he will counteract this in so many ways. And they have faith that somehow I will. So he has a plan. He wants to bring Krishna, but he has to have someone who's extremely intelligent and diplomatic and carries this message in the proper way that he can actually trust. Because that's another thing. When you're a controller, you don't have much trust. Because one, you look around and you see people in the same consciousness. They also want to control. So everyone becomes the enemy. You don't trust anyone because we see the enemy and he is us. We see the same thing in ourselves and others. But a devotee, a real devotee doesn't invoke that type of fear because he doesn't have that possessiveness. And therefore, in the Sadgoswami Astakam, that song is beautiful. Krishna Kirtana Gananartanapano Premamritambo Nidhi Dira Dira Janaprio Piyakaro Nirmatsaro Pujito. Six Goswamis were worshipable because they didn't have envy. And therefore, because they didn't have envy and they weren't looking at the world through that lens of superiority, which wants to appropriate everything for oneself, including the possessions of others who you feel as your enemies, dira dira to the gentle and ruffians, dira dira, dira dira janaprio, to the jana, to the people, they were dear. People loved them because they didn't have this possessiveness. But Kamsa has this possessiveness. So he's going to try to counteract it. And Daivi Esha Gunamayi Mamadaratya. Doratya, it's impossible to overcome the modes of material nature because they are following your consciousness. The illusory energy is satisfying your desire, which only can be fulfilled in illusion that you're the controller and you're the enjoyer. So when you fight that energy with that consciousness, it's God's energy. It's only going to respond to that consciousness and keep you bound within the modes of nature in this material world. But mama maya, daivyesha gunamayi, mama maya, mam eva ye papadyante mayameta. But one who gives up that consciousness and surrenders to God, he becomes free. So now we'll see Kamsa. He commands his ministers, thus commanding his ministers, he called them all, have this sacrifice. We can attract Krishna to come. They're just village boys and we'll invite the parents and they think they'll sell their milk products and it'll be a day in the big city and I'm the king. And when I command it, they'll have to come and they'll be attracted to come. But I need a good man who's diplomatic and make sure this can carry out in case they become fearful, ask questions, they can be pacified. So he calls the best man, and the best man is a Kuru. He does not know that he's a devotee. And because he's so diplomatic, Akura, and such a good advisor, then Kamsa practically only has faith in him. Because Narada said the demigods can be born anywhere. He doesn't trust anyone. The most imminent, as you say, Akura, who is the most imminent. Kamsa knew the art of securing personal advantage. This is what politics is about. Securing personal advantage by how you talk, how you maneuver. And he thus took Akura by the hand in his own. He spoke. He's the king. He's so above everybody in position. Okay, here was his minister, but he grabbed him gently by the hand. Grabbed him gently by the hand. A sign of affection, a sign of respect. And why did he do that? Because he loved and respected Akura? No, he did it because he wanted personal advantage. It was not sincere. Sincere means honest. Bhakti means sincerity. Bhakti means when you serve Krishna, you're doing it to please him. Not to get a position, not to become the best devotee, not to get your name published, not people to say Jai Jai your name. You're doing it only because you want Krishna pleased. So this is like mixed bhakti. There's some other desire. It's not anyabhilashita shunyam, pure devotion. There's no other desire. My dear Akura, most charitable one, please do me a friendly favor out of respect. Among the Bhojas and Vrishnis, there is no one else as kind to us as you. So be charitable. And what's your charity? You're charitable, you want to give? Well, give to me and do this service for me. Do this service for me. And among the Bhojis and Vrishnis, there's no one else as kind to you. And he's actually, this is, of course, when we know the story of Kamsa, he's not a Yadava. His father was a demon who disguised himself as the husband of his mother and impregnated her. But he was actually a demon. So Kamsa, he found out, that's not actually my father. I just grew up with Ugrasena. And then because karmically or by Krishna's plan, or he had this material mentality that my faith is in controlling and enjoying the world. Faith means where you find your sublimity or happiness. He had misdirected faith, as most of us do to some degree or another. But his was so pronounced. It went over the level of just being incidentally selfish to being demoniac. When I grew up in Brooklyn, I remember one or two people who were demons. Really. You could see they had no other consciousness but themselves and to enjoy and control. And they enjoyed it. They enjoyed it. That's their faith. This is what I trust is the best thing. You know what the best thing is? When I have power. Because if I have power, I can control. And if I have control, I can enjoy. And if I can enjoy more than others, I am superior. And I can feel I'm superior because I enjoy more than others. There's no meaning to superiority materially unless you're enjoying more. So it's not just a sensual thing, it's a very psychological thing. And that's all he wants. And when he finds out that Ugrasena is not my father, then everyone becomes his enemy. Because sometimes even the demon, not the demon, but even the person who has so many problems, at least their family. And I remember this day, and it's kind of humorous. But when we're young, you hang out in certain places. So I was in high school, and Friday night we'd hang out at one shopping. It wasn't a mall, it's where a lot of stores are. And you meet people, so you're hanging out there. And then these are not the demons I was talking about, but these two people came over to ask us for money. And I just can't help but forget the name of the person that did it, because it's like casting for a movie. His name was Rocco Crigliano. And when we tried to refuse, he went into this thing, this person hates you, this person hates you, this person hates you, this person hates you. And the only person likes it like you like is your mother. And even she, it goes to that level, and even she, I will kill them if they're in my way. Like Aurangzeb, Prabhupada said the Hindu hater rubs Aurangzeb. I can't pronounce it. Aurangzeb. Anyway, his father was Shah Jahan. His father was a powerful Muslim emperor. And you know, what happens by karma, they were ruling India. So they had like a lot of culture and music and art. That's what happens. It's like a karma. His wife died and he built the tomb, the Taj Mahal. And then his son arrested him and threw him in prison for the rest of his life. And he can only look out the window of the bars. But he's saying, among the Bhojas and Vrishnis, he's talking to Krua, because Krua is a Yadava, there is no one else as kind to us as you. And it's a fact. He even touched Kamsa's heart, because he would be considerate of him and he would serve him. No one is as nice as you. Because somehow or other, Nirmatsuro Pujatao, that person that doesn't have envy, the guard of a demon who wants to control, is let down because he understands that that person who Nirmatsuro, who doesn't have hate, is not coveting what he has, and everyone else is. So somehow Akrua is such a devotee serving Kamsa, and Kamsa can feel his consciousness. He is saintly. Gentle Akrua, you always carry out your duties soberly, and therefore I am depending on you, just as powerful Indra took shelter of Lord Vishnu. To achieve this goal, gentle Akrura, because Akrura means cruel, Akrura means not cruel. So he's saying, Soumya, gentle, you actually are Akrura, you're not cruel. And you always carry out your duties soberly. Therefore, I'm depending on you. I need a good man. And then Akrura may think in his mind, but what do you mean depending on me? You're so powerful. He says, just as powerful Indra took shelter of Lord Vishnu to achieve his goals. This is Kamsa. He's giving an example how someone more powerful is taking shelter of someone less. And he's giving the story of I forgot which story it is, but anyway, he's giving an example of when Indra took shelter of Vishnu. Well, of course, it could be the Govardhan Leela of a more power. See, so he's demoniac. And he can't accept that Vishnu is superior. He's giving an example of a more powerful person taking care of a lesser person, Vishnu. He can't accept that. The biggest crush to the ego is that the position of control and superiority is already taken, and that's called God. There's someone that is vastly superior to you and everyone else. And therefore, what you're coveting is already taken and you don't have a chance. And he, some of that mentality doesn't want to accept that. I can see how atheism is such a, how modern type, postmodern conceptions want to deny any type of authority. And don't like people who profess in God, who want to accept that and believe there's an absolute truth with principles and laws that are above our own authority of enjoying. They don't accept that. please go to Nanda's village where the two sons of Anakadundabi are living. Without delay, bring them here on this chariot. And I mentioned this before, he's calling him Anakadundabi. The two sons of Anakadundabi, Vasudev, and why Anakadundabi? Because his qualities were so extraordinary, Vasudev. What his determination would be in his life, what his character would be in life. Even look how he was in the prison and he was able to pull the wool over Kamsa's eyes, take Krishna out of the prison, somehow the gatekeepers cross over and do this switch. So Kamsa was saying, this guy's sharp. And get his sons, bring him here, this Anakadundabi. And therefore, when he was born, the Anaka and the Dundabi, the trumpets and the drums were playing because the demigods knew that this great soul is born. And how great is he? Vishuddha Sattvam Vasudeva Shabditam. The highest consciousness, Vishuddha Sattvam, pure Vishuddha, not just goodness, but transcendental goodness, the highest spiritual consciousness, Vasudeva Shabd, it's called Vasudev, because his consciousness was so pure that God can appear in his heart. From his heart, it can be transferred to the womb of Devaki. So this is Anakadundabi. And bring them there on this chariot. You see this chariot here? This is a new chariot. Sometimes men like machines. I had this friend, he was a devotee, and he was very charitable. He had a business, and he was very charitable. And then he lost his business because his brother sued him, but he was out able to retire to New York. He lived in New York City. He was a dye-in-the-wool New Yorker. But he just stayed in his house. And I said, what do you do? He said, I watch NASCAR all day. That's with the racing cars. I watch it all day. I said, why? Because he said, it's just men and machines. Cars, things, the psychology. So a new chariot, the top of the line model chariot. Just for you. Just for you. And why is he doing that? Because he knew the art of personal advantage. He's the psychology. Maybe this would. He really wanted him to go. He wanted this good man. And he wanted to convince him to go in a somya. Somya means he's gentle. I've tried the forceful ways of killing Krishna by sending so many demons. Now I need someone who's a krura, who's somya, who's gentle, who's not cruel. I need someone who would persuasive abilities that can go there and convince him to come. Because now if I deliver the edict, they may disappear. Let's trick him here. We'll do it in this way. But when we get him here, we'll kill him. So here's the brand new attractive chariot. So the purport talks about that. Kamsa thought a crew was innocent. When he saw this fine charity, he'll, oh yes. Okay, I was able to look at something and speak something. Would anybody like to share any reflections? Okay. A few people just want to say Hare Krishna. Then we can end the class.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Toti Gopinath here.
Hi, Bo. We'll see you tomorrow. I should be there at 11 o'clock.
Okay.
So you, it's what time do you think that means we leave here?
9 a.m.
Okay, come a little bit before 9. We'll pack the car, okay?
You got it. Okay, Haribo.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello or share some reflections? Oh, Jai Subhadra. Wow, what a great day yesterday, huh? Okay. Okay, anybody else?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. It's Missy.
Oh, good to see you again.
Good to see you. There was a lot in this class that I loved. So when I take notes, I don't want to repeat back what you just repeated.
repeat one thing you like, please.
I loved it all, but I also loved in the beginning, you're saying we're not separated from God by distance, we're separated by faith. So just another nugget of knowledge that I loved.
Well, that's exactly what I want. I want people to repeat the things that that they like. Thank you. Good.
Thank you.
Good. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Advaita.
And Akiko.
Okay. Haribo. I know that seat when I was in your house, and good place to look at things. Okay, great. Haribo. Good. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj.
Champak, you are in Colorado?
Good morning. I am. I'm leaving in a few days.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I really liked it. It was a good reminder that bhakti is only when your one and only goal is to please Krishna, and otherwise it's mixed.
Mixed, yeah. We want to be sincere. We want to have love.
What about when your intention is just to not disappoint your guru?
Well, that's pure bhakti, right? That's good.
Thank you want,
it means not disappoint. It means you want to please, right?
Right.
You want to please your guru. Okay. But you're saying maybe there's some psychology in it. You just don't like to be wrong or do something. Anyway, I think it's a good consciousness. Okay. Thank you. And thank you for the offering yesterday. That was really nice. I appreciated it.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Maharaj. It's me, Kaylee Kadamba, and my mom.
Hare Krishna.
Okay. Hare Bo. Good. Good. That's great.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare okay. Krishna.
Thank you, my
favorite mother and child combination. Okay, great.
I really enjoyed your class, and I wanted to reflect something. You talked about how demons, or sometimes us, we cannot understand how higher powers, power above ourselves. And I was thinking that sometimes we disconnect plans that are being made by even Krishna, but we don't see Krishna in it, and we think that we disconnected from Krishna, you know what I mean? For example, something happens and we don't see that Krishna is behind it, and that's somehow not seeing the power above ourselves, and we see ourselves controller. And I mean, regarding to our country and what's happening to us, that's somehow seeing Krishna behind it also, isn't it?
Right. That's seeing, you're not seeing Krishna, but maybe you're not completely denying him, but we still don't. Okay, that's good. Thank you. Hare Bo. Okay, one more person. Say hello.
Hi, Sri Rupa.
Hey, Sri Rupa. Hare Krishna. Good. Okay, a few more. I still got a few minutes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. There are a couple of things, you know. When you were saying that Krishna is not relegated to time or space, I feel like for the first time I heard that differently, because it made me realize that I normally think of course he's in our heart, so he knows everything that we're feeling, but you know, when I think of like the spiritual sky, I'm still thinking of a place and space, you know. So it made me realize that it's kind of inconceivable to think of a place that's not like in space, you know.
I really have, it's choppy for me to hear. Maybe it's my hearing.
Oh. Really. Hey, I was just, oh, okay. Okay. So, okay.
Why don't you call me this week and we'll talk about it, okay?
Okay.
Okay. I just, okay. One or two more people and that's it.
Hey, Krishna Maharaj.
Hey, Krishna.
Hey. Great. Okay. One more.
Hey, Krishna Maharaj, it's Govardhan Lal.
Okay, Govardhan Haribo. Okay. Nice function yesterday. Very well organized. We had great. Okay. We'll go right now, Haribo.
Okay.